Is it possible, I heard myself saying, that we are a spent delivery mechanism, like those boosters that threw us into space to be dumped into the sea?
That's totally plausible, Jessery said, without hesitation.
We did our lessons well and played some clever tricks to get the four Veilers here. That job is done. Now, here we are, no food, no oxygen, no communications, and no way home.
You overestimate the importance of the world burner, Jad announced. It is a bluff. Its existence forces our military to act in ways it would not otherwise. Its destruction gives our back a measure of freedom. But what use the secular power will make of that freedom is yet to be known, and our actions may yet be of some importance. We go on.
Jules, Leo said.
How about it?
It is tempting to drop through this opening before us, no? Jules said. For we had instinctively turned our backs on the world burner, as if this would protect us from whatever was about to erupt there. Once more we were gazing down into the gap, watching orbs 6 and 7 rotate past, glimpsing the core in the cleft between them.
But then we are in the light, where we may be seen, and the orb stack rotates with too much velocity for us ever to catch it. No, we must go in via the core. But to enter the core, we must first go in at a vertex.
He toddled around until he was gazing at the vertex that, as we faced the shock piston, was to our left.
That is the observatory. You've studied the pictures.
He toddled right.
That one is a military command post.
Does the observatory have airlocks?
Archibald asked. For all of us were now looking leftward. No one felt up to invading a military command post, not after we had lost our Veilers.
Oh, yes, you are looking at one, said Jules, and began walking toward it.
We fell in step.
I am?
The dome that houses the telescope is itself a great airlock, Jules explained.
Makes sense, Jessery said. To work on the telescope, they'd want to flood the dome with air. Then, when they were ready to make observations, they'd evacuate it and expose it to space.
Which is where I normally would have become irritated with Jessery for lecturing the rest of us. But it went by me. I was fascinated, dumbfounded, by an idea I had not dared to think of for a week. Taking my suit off. Being able to touch my face. Archibald was on the same track.
The way I smell will probably seem funny when I reminisce about it years hence.
Yes, Leo said. If odors can travel between cosmi, everything downwick of us is about to die.
Thanks for the preview, Jessery said.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, I suggested.
Saman asked, Is anyone going to be on duty in this observatory?
Perhaps not physically there, Jules said. The telescopes are controlled remotely on our version of the reticulum. But the big one will be in use, certainly, making a survey of your lovely cosmos, which is all new to us.
The vertex was looming mountainously as we carried on this conversation. Old instincts warned me that we had an exhausting climb ahead of us, but of course it was no climb at all because we were weightless. Without having to discuss it, we made for the highest and largest of the domes, which, as Jules had promised, was open. It was a spherical shell, split into two hemispheres, which had spread apart on tracks to expose a multi-segmented mirror with a diameter of some 30 feet. We all clambered through the gap between the hemispheres, which was wide enough to throw a 3-bedroom house through, and hand-over-handed ourselves down to the level of the trusses and gimbals that supported the mirror, all following, I think, a sort of instinct to get indoors, undercover, away from the terrible exposure we had been living with for so long. Jules pointed out a hatch by which we could gain entry to the pressurized regions of the vertex once the dome had been closed and filled with air. There was even a nice big red panic button that we could slam to emergency pressurize the dome, but he advised us not to use it, because this would trigger alarms all over the Dabinernod. Instead, he pulled himself up on the struts that held the telescope's objective suspended at the mirror's focal point. He peeled the reflective blanket off of his chest and stuffed it in there, then clambered down to rejoin us. Meanwhile, the rest of us tried to stay calm and control our breathing. Archibald, who used more oxygen than anyone else, was down to 10 minutes. Saman had 25.
The two of them swapped oxygen tanks. I had 18. Leo suggested we all try to eat as much as possible. If we were separated from our suits, we'd have no food left, except for a few energy bars that we could carry with us. So I sucked more gruel from the nozzle and made a prolonged and labored effort not to throw it right back up into the scupper.